breath. I am sustained by the love of God. It's the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time. In this world, you believe that you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Your faith is placed in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people. Your faith is placed in an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, all these things are your replacements for the love of God. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, all these things are cherished to ensure that you continue to identify with just being a body. Pills, money, faith being placed in just pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people are songs of praise to your ego. Do not put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. The love of your Creator will lift you out of every trial and raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon your eternal calm. Do not put your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, and knowing the right people, for this will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you. The love of God, the love of the truth, the love of God within you. Put your faith in what's eternal, changeless, and what will never fail. This is the answer to whatever confronts you today. This is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence through the love of God within you. You can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself, through the love of God within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. It is a declaration of release from the belief in idols. It is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. Let this idea, I am sustained by the love of God, sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat, I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it. I am sustained by the love of God. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize that's the truth. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and safety. Don't let any idle or foolish thoughts enter to disturb your beautiful mind, you beautiful child of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the resting place where your Creator has placed you forever. You are sustained by the love of God. You are sustained by your Creator's love. You are sustained by your Creator's love for you. You are sustained by your Creator's love for you. You are sustained by the love of God. Okay. We're going to be continuing on chapter 15. And we're going to be on, well, I take it out of my place every time. We're going to be on page 317. We're going to be on page 317. The ego is the fearful mind, and the Holy Spirit is the loving mind. One of the main things is to tell the difference between when I'm coming from my peace and when I'm coming from fear, or when I'm meeting someone that's getting ready to bring conflict, or somebody that's getting ready to bring peace. What the course is going to do now is describe the way that a mind that doesn't believe that they have love operates, or a mind that doesn't know the truth operates. Okay, he calls that the ego. He says the ego, the mind that doesn't know the truth, establishes relationships only to get something. And the ego would keep the giver bound to itself through guilt. It's impossible for the fearful mind to enter into any relationship without anger. For the fearful mind believes that anger makes friends. Thinking that getting mad at somebody is going to make them treat you right is not the ego's statement, but it is the ego's purpose. For the insecure, fearful mind, the ego really believes they can get somebody and keep them by making them feel guilty. This is the ego's one attraction, an attraction so weak that it would have no hold at all, except that most people don't recognize that they're being attracted to guilt. They think they're being attracted to love. For the ego always seems to attract through love. It looks like you are attracted through love. But the ego really has no attraction at all to anyone perceiving that the ego attracts through guilt. It's time for us to recognize the sick attraction to guilt for what it is. For we have made guilt real to us, the Course says, so it's essential that we look at our attraction to feeling guilty clearly. And by withdrawing our investment in the desire to feel guilty, to learn to let feeling guilty go. No one's going to choose to let go of what they believe has value. And the attraction of guilt has value to you only because you haven't looked at your attraction to guilt as what it is. Having judged your attraction to guilt completely in the dark, as we bring your attraction to guilt to light, your only question will be, why did I ever want to feel guilty in the first place? You have nothing to lose by looking with your eyes open, for ugliness such as this belongs not in your innocent mind. This host of God, you can have no real investment in guilt. Okay, so the paragraph said that when a person doesn't know the truth, they establish a relationship just to get something. They're going to try to keep the relationship going through making the other person feel guilty. Because the guilty mind believes that the more upset I act with you, the more I attack you, then you're going to treat me right. That's how I'm going to make you my friend. Okay, then it says, now I'm not going to tell you that's what I'm going to do, but that's my purpose when I'm insecure. Also, we need to understand that guilt is the one attraction that a fearful mind has, but feeling guilty is something we're attracted to, but we don't recognize we're attracted to guilt. As a matter of fact, when an ego mind thinks it's fallen in love, it's not really attracted to love, it's really attracted to guilt. So, the ego mind has no attraction, or guilt has no attraction to anyone that perceives that it attracts through guilt. The ego mind has no attraction to someone that can recognize that this is a person, this is a mind that tries to keep things going through guilt. You will not be attracted to someone. One day you will not be attracted to anyone that would attack you and make you feel guilty. One day you will not be attracted to anyone that will attack you and make you feel guilty. That's what paragraph 2 said. Then it goes into paragraph 3 and says, we have to realize that we have a sick attraction to guilt that we don't know about it, and we need to recognize our attraction to pain for what it is. So the Course says we have an unrecognized attraction to guilt, which is the same as an unrecognized attraction to pain. It also says we've made it real, that we've now made guilt real. That's what most people are working on, their guilts and their fears, and trying to clear that all up. So he says, having made it real to you, then we have to clearly look at the fact that we are attracted to guilt, and we have to be willing to withdraw our investment in feeling guilty. I've got to look clearly at the fact that I'm attracted to guilt and pain, then I have to stop investing in the attraction to guilt and pain. I have to see clearly what I'm doing to myself, then stop doing it. So correction is a twofold plan. And this is the part that's such a challenge for most students of the truth. is that you have to see your illusion clearly and then stop investing in it. That's why I admire you so much. It's because you want to wake up to the truth of who you are. And that's not easy, and it's not always pleasant and fun. So I'm going to keep saying that I want to acknowledge you, because you're going through the most important part with me, which is right now you being willing to look at what you're doing to yourself clearly and not be in denial and run away from it. So then it says, no one's going to choose to let go of something that they believe has value. So the reason why people do not let go of guilt is they think that it's valuable to still feel guilty. People believe that it's valuable to feel guilty, that it's a good thing to feel guilty, that if it wasn't for guilt, just don't tell them what we might do to each other. So the ego mind believes that guilt has value. And so the court says, you're not going to let go of what you think has value. He says, so we haven't really looked at it for what it is. I still value guilt because I haven't looked at what it's doing to me. I have judged guilt completely in the dark. It's like we've been judging guilt without really knowing what guilt does. So he says we've been judging it completely in the dark. And he says in the darkness is fear and ignorance. So he says we've been judging guilt in fear and ignorance. Got it? And then it says next, as we bring it to light, as you become aware of guilt, the Course says, your only question, and I hear this all the time, is, well, why did we want to do this in the first place? Why did we want to be attracted to guilt and separation in the first place? This is the question that he says naturally comes up in you when the truth is being revealed to you. So the fact that question comes up is an excellent sign for where you are right now. It means you're really at the phase of looking clearly at it and starting to be willing to let go of your investment, because it brings up the question, well, why did I want to do that in the first place? And so he says, you don't have anything to lose. He says, you don't have anything to lose by looking with your eyes open. For ugliness such as this does not belong around your innocent mind. That paper is quickly going to be a problem for me. Thank you, brother. Go ahead and get your big piece off of it or something. You know, go ahead. Yeah, I'm just talking about doing it, you know, when people try to do it really easy. And I'm, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And as your punishment, I'm going to ask you to give me a glass of water. Would you give me a glass of water, please? That's your punishment. You have to give me a glass of water. Oh, that's even, see, that's quick. That's manifesting if I ever seen it. All right, that's what we're talking about. All right, here we go. You better really listen to this paragraph. Okay, I say it again, this is a deep. He says, you don't have anything to lose by looking at what you're doing to yourself with your eyes open. You don't have anything to lose by looking at this with your eyes open. He says, you don't have anything to lose by looking at this with your eyes open. I love this. He said, because ugliness such as this doesn't belong in your mind. He says, you can have no real investment in here. So this guilt doesn't belong in your innocent mind. Guilt does not belong in your innocent mind. Guilt does not belong in your innocent mind. That's what holy means. Guilt doesn't belong in your mind. Guilt doesn't belong in your mind. You see that? Then it goes on to say, now he's going to tell you how it works. He says, we said before that the ego attempts to maintain and increase guilt, but in such a way that you don't recognize what it would do to you. So there's a part of your mind that's trying to increase your guilt and maintain your guilt, but it's trying to do it in a way that you don't even recognize that you're maintaining and increasing your guilt. So most of the time when people are maintaining and increasing their pain, it's being done by them in such a way they don't know they're increasing their guilt and their pain. Okay, so one of the challenges with waking up is you're going to start to realize what people are doing to themselves, and you're going to be tempted to get upset with them because you see what they're doing to themselves, but you don't realize that the only reason why you see what they're doing to themselves is because you're at the stage of seeing guilt clearly before you let it go. They, on the other hand, have no idea what they're doing to themselves, because that's what they said, because their guilt is being maintained in a way that they don't recognize it. So you're really getting upset with people for doing something they don't really know they're doing. And the only reason why you feel that way is because you finally know what you're doing They don't know what they're doing. You're seeing it, but they don't know they're doing it. And so you get upset because you expect them to treat you as if they know what they're doing to themselves. Is everybody following me on that? So one of the challenges of waking up is all of a sudden you be in a world where people are maintaining increasing their guilt and pain in such a way that they don't know that they're doing it to themselves. And that's you seeing clearly what you have done and still do to yourself. But just like you weren't aware of what you were doing to yourself, they still unaware of what they're doing to themselves. So they're still going to do it. And you just shouldn't get mad at them because they don't know they're doing it.
And the next step is to realize that you're looking at yourself.
Right, because you couldn't even see it. You couldn't even see it if you weren't looking through. The Course just said, guilt doesn't belong in your mind. I'm going to help you get rid of your guilt and pain. The way I help you get rid of your guilt and pain is that you need to see it clearly and then stop investing in it. So let me tell you the process. The process is there's a part of you that's trying to maintain and increase your guilt, but in such a way you don't really realize it and don't know what it'll do to you. So in most cases, when you're hurting yourself, you don't know it. So that's why we're innocent. Okay? The reason why we feel guilty when we hear this is because we bring it up to conscious awareness, and then the temptation is to feel guilty. But the truth is, you did it out of your unconsciousness, so you're innocent. You didn't know you were doing it to yourself, and you didn't know you were doing it to them. You were just trying to maintain the relationship. I'm treating you like this because I want to maintain the relationship.
I thought mother guilt was all right.
Right, that's what I'm saying. What better way to maintain and increase mother guilt than for you to not recognize what mother guilt does to you?
Does to them.
And does to you. More to you than to them. Because some children don't care what their parents say. So they're not really necessarily feeling the guilt. That's the mother that has the mother guilt. You know what I'm saying? It's like the mother who has the guilt, whoever has the guilt is the one with the guilt. That's all I'm saying. Whoever has the guilt is the one with the guilt. But what the Course is trying to get us to do is not so much focusing on the different ways we've chosen to maintain and increase our guilt, but to just become aware that we have a sick attraction to guilt that we don't recognize. That's the purpose of the paragraph. We already know the different ways we apply it. That's kind of redundant to go through that. Everybody here got ways to apply it, but that's not the issue. The issue is to understand what guilt would do to you, so that you will stop investing in it, because that's where all your pain comes from. Every bit of it. All of it. Okay? Now, do you have anything to lose by looking open-eyed? No. Does this ugliness belong in your mind?
No.
So as a child of God, will you stop having investment there? Okay, next paragraph. It says, now, we've said before that the ego, fearful mind, attempts to maintain and increase guilt, but in such a way that you don't recognize what it would do to you. For it is your ego's fundamental doctrine that what you do to others, you've escaped. So the main thing my fear teaches me, or my guilt, or my anger, or my ego teaches me, is whatever I do to you is not going to happen to me. I'm going to escape the way I treat you. The way I treat you. That's why people are so quick to attack, because they don't think that putting that attack out there is going to affect them. Actually, they think putting the attack out there is going to protect them. So the first thing that your guilty, fearful mind teaches you is that the more anger you project outside yourself, the safer you're going to become. Now, if you can hear this paragraph, you are a phenomenally conscious being, and I'll tell you why. Because why would your ego want you to hear what it's doing to you? So if you were ever going to go unconscious, it would be on the things I'm telling you about what you're doing to yourself that you don't know about. You see what I'm saying? So if we can hear this at all, we're doing a miraculous thing, because this is the stuff you're more likely to defend against, and your ego not want you to hear. The part of me that believes guilt has value does not want me to stop investing in guilt. So that means the you that's sitting up here reading the book, you, the one that's listening to me, the Course says, that is the Christ consciousness. That is spirit consciousness. You, if you've been wondering where the Christ within is located, it's the you that's willing to study the truth. Because your ego would never hear this. So you're not in your ego hearing this. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's why when you walk out of the door, it's hard to remember what I've said, because your ego, everyday mind, hasn't heard anything I've said. So when you go out the door and you go back in your ego, everyday mind, you don't remember what you've heard. But don't feel guilty about that. Your ego, everyday mind, didn't hear what I said. It's your Christ mind that hears what I'm saying. It's the part of you that's seeking the truth. That's the Christ in you. That's the love in you. That's the truth in you. It's cool. And you think, that's deep when you think about it. Mm-hmm. But this is what's so cool about it, though. Every time you go into your real mind and you go back out there into your unreal mind, you always take a little bit more of your real mind with you every time. And that's the beauty of doing this. You may forget 99%, but 1% leaves the room with you. Okay? So don't worry about forgetting what I said when you left. All right? It's in you. And it'll pop up when you least expect it and when you need it the most. That's the way it'll come up. It's like a hidden secret treasure. And when you need it, all of a sudden you get somebody trying to make you feel guilty. And all of a sudden you go, wait a minute. They're trying to make me feel guilty. Well, somebody really loved me wouldn't be trying to make me feel guilty. Right. See, that's what happens. Soon as you start feeling guilty, you go, oh, wait a minute. Say, don't worry about it. Don't just trust me. Or better still, don't trust me.
No.
I'm not going to ask you to do something that's hard. Okay. Now, then it says, now this is the part that's kind of deep, but I'm going to say it. It says, we said before that your ego attempts to maintain an increased guilt, but in such a way that you don't recognize what guilt would do to you. Because it's your ego's fundamental doctrine that what you do to others, you have escaped. The ego is the part of you that wishes no one well. The ego wishes no one well. The fearful, insecure mind, guilty mind, angry mind, wishes no one well. Yet the survival of your ego, the survival of your fear, the survival of your guilt depends on, my pain survival depends on what? Your belief that you are exempt from its evil intentions. I'll keep on attacking you because I don't know it's bringing attack to me. I'll keep on attacking you because I think I'm exempt from these evil intentions. Your ego counsels, therefore, that if you are host to me, your anger, I will enable you to direct this anger outward, and that will protect you. So the ego, the part of the mind that wants you to feel pain and guilt, is always telling you, direct your anger out at someone or something else, direct your anger out, and it will protect you. Like what's going on right now in Israel. If I attack, it's going to protect me. And the same thing with the Palestinians. If I attack, it's going to protect me. The same thing with the terrorists. If I attack, it's going to protect me. The Quran says that is the fundamental perception of the fearful mind, the guilty mind, the angry mind. Now, so, he says, then your angry mind, your guilty mind does what? It embarks, he says, your guilty mind embarks on what? An endless, unrewarding chain of special relationships. Insecure people embark on an endless chain, one after another, of unrewarding relationships. The guilty, fearful mind embarks on an endless chain of unrewarding relationships, one after another. Now, what are these special relationships that the guilty, fearful mind makes up? He says, well, they are forged, bam, forged out of anger. Dedicated to just one insane belief. We form special relationships dedicated to one belief that we don't know about, which is the more anger I invest outside myself, the safer I become. So, the fearful mind forms relationships based on the idea that the more I attack you, the better I feel. The more anger I am at you, the better I feel. The more I get you to change, the better I feel. He says that's the way guilt is created. Okay, give me some thoughts. What do y'all think about that?
Insane.
Talk to me, brother.
That's insane.
Tell me how it's insane to you, please.
To live like that. To actually believe that if I attack you, I can maintain a relationship with you. To attack you, that I love you. To attack you, I'll be protected. That's insane.
Now
it's insane. Okay, before.
Okay, now you see the insanity of it, all right? So that means you see it clearly. So you're doing step one of your healing. Step two of your healing would be to stop doing what?
Investing in that.
What do you mean by investing?
By still attacking people and then thinking it's going to make you feel safe. That's the investment. Projecting my anger outside of myself, blaming everything and everybody outside of myself, and then saying that's going to make me happy. That is the investment. Now, the ego is going to try to come up with lots of reasons for continued attack. Okay, your ego now is going to say, well, what about Blocker? And what about Bama? And what about Clamor? And what about that? And what? See, all those are what? The defense to keep the belief that attacking someone else makes me safe. Now, every part of me that believes that is now feeling resistance.
Well, I think, too, it's huge, and I think for many people, I know myself included, the projection is out of me. I don't know what's on anybody else out there. So then you attack yourself. So you know what I'm saying?
Self-guilt.
And what the Course says beautifully says that's the same as attacking everybody else. That to take the, he said the temptation is going to be to take the attack off of everybody else and then start blaming and putting all the attack. He said, which is exactly the same thing because the outer is a reflection of the inner. So don't try to become noble by now beating yourself up. Okay? Because that will give you the exact same karmic effect as going out beating somebody else up. You feeling pain. So if my being mad at you has the same effect as me being mad at me, then I think I'll just continue to be mad at you.
There's a false sense of control there, too.
In which one?
And the attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's when you attack, you have that false sense of control that you're in control of the situation. And that you are going to make something happen from that situation. And I think it's that need for that false sense of control because you don't feel so lost.
Exactly.
When that happens too.
Exactly.
And I've noticed in my own self that when I attack, I had that one moment of kind of having that.
Okay, so
kind of feeling a false sense of control.
Right.
But then when the reflex came back to me, and I realized I didn't have that control, then I had a lot of soul searching to do.
And go back to what he just said. You know, why did you attack? What is the sense of control? The sense of control is a sense of safety.
Right.
See, so it's like we got a different. What I love about the Course in Miracles is that we got an it's like an infinite number of ways that we do the same thing, and by having so many different ways that we do it, that's the way we hide the fact that we're doing it. You know, in other words, I don't care what I do out of fear or anger. It is nothing but an aspect of me believing that the more anger I project outside myself, the safer I become. And all of us got a zillion ways of doing that. But what Course is saying is that's really maintaining and increasing your guilt. And it's from guilt that all pain comes from. If you remember nothing else I say today, if you stop right there, you've gotten more than you can imagine. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm just confused.
Confused.
About.
Okay.
I didn't think I could attack or be attacked or be harmed.
But you certainly know what is. But you certainly. We're talking about how your ego mind operates.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
But I'm innocent. I'm free.
Right.
I can't be hurt.
Right. And yes, you're innocent. You're free. You can't be hurt. But your ego mind. Try to stay focused. The only thought that this section is trying to get us to see is that we are attracted to guilt. We don't recognize we're attracted to guilt, and we increase and maintain our guilt by believing that the more we control, blame, and attack outside of ourselves, the safer we become. We need to look at that clearly and then stop doing it. That is all it is saying.
Stop that thought. You know, get the healing. You're my Savior.
And at the very least, right? Don't physically act on the thought. Right. Even if you can't pull the thought off, even if you're still in your mind totally angry,
right,
you still want to not physically do anything to harm the person. If you do, then you will be gently healed and corrected. Like the guy I was in the news that shot the burglar that came in through his window. Well, obviously he believed that attacking would make him self-safe, but he called it defending, which is nothing but the disguised name of attack, is defend. Okay, they're the same term. They're exactly the same. Attack and defense are the same thing. So what he has to do is he will learn that what he did was a call for love, a call for help that came from his fear. That's what him shooting the guy was. That's what the guy coming through the window was. The guy coming through the window was acting from his fear and belief and lack and guilt, because he'd have to feel guilty and want to hurt himself to go in the window of someone else's house. He wanted to die. And the person who was in the house, when he came in the house, was a person who believed that he could be attacked and hurt. Both of them were calls for help. Okay, now, we're not to worry about how that's going to work itself out. What we're supposed to remember is what? Who can tell me what we're supposed to remember?
Stop investing
in
attack.
Right. I'm going to make you so... If you hang in here with me, you're going to get mad, and I want you to keep coming if you get mad. Okay? I want you to promise me, even though you don't have to keep it, that if you get mad, you'll keep coming, because I can't teach you the course if you have to like it all the time. Because there's no way you will hear the truth and your ego always like it. It will not happen. Forget it. If that's the condition of your learning, is that you got to like what the book is saying, put the book down. You won't get the book. It's going to make us see clearly what we're doing to hurt ourselves, and then it's going to show us how to stop investing in it. But we have to see the insane thoughts that we've been using so that we can stop using, because the way they are able to control us is because we don't know it's going on.
And the more invested, the more painful.
So if your mind is a mind that analyzes, then stop thinking.
Yeah.
If you're an analyzer, stop and go, how do I feel? Those of you who are the analyzers, please stop and then say, how do I feel? Okay, if I'm feeling a lack of peace, that's what the course is talking about. That lack of peace is coming from some idea of thought or guilt. All I need to know is I am somehow believing that feeling bad is going to make me safe, or attacking someone is going to make me safe. I just need to stop investing in that. How do I stop investing in that? By seeing clearly what it's doing to you. The motivation to stop it will not come from what your anger is doing to others. Practicing the truth is not going to come from, really at an ego level, from your realizing what your anger does to others. It's going to come from recognizing what it does to you. So the more clearly that you see that your attack is what's increasing your guilt, you will begin to want to attack less and less and less. And it is a gradual process. In the meantime, you're going to still lose your temper from time to time. You still might blow somebody away who come through your window. You still might tell somebody you don't ever want to see them again if they don't come home at so-and-so time. You're going to do all those things because your ego will be trying to keep the guilt going that's necessary to keep the fear and separation going. So that's why it's so important that while you're hearing this, you start to be gentle with yourself about still doing ego things, because you will. I'm telling you, listen to me, 25 years of working with people with this, I'm telling you, do not approach the course from the standpoint that if you're doing it right, you're going to feel good all the time, because that's not what it's about. It's about recognizing that what is hurting you is your guilt, and your guilt comes from attack on yourself or someone else. And the more you learn to not invest in it, the less attack you will experience in your physical world. But in the transition period, you will still sometimes act from a very guilty, fearful, stupid, egotistical place. And you must be gentle with yourself about it. And when you do, you get rid of your ego by being tolerant of it. You get rid of your ego by being tolerant of it. It thrives on your hate of it. It thrives on your attack of it. So if you really want to let go of your guilt, then stop attacking yourself for feeling it. Debbie, you had your hand up first.
I struggle with the distinction because...
Distinction between what?
Because I think that I don't think I've hardly ever expressed anger, because I was never, I was taught that it was never okay to express anger.
Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes also don't express what I think or what I feel or what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle in sections like with the distinction between, because I get in my mind, okay, so if I'm saying what I feel, if I'm telling somebody how I feel about something, am I attacking them? If I'm telling them that just expressing my feelings about a situation, am I trying to make them feel guilty?
That depends on what you're telling yourself behind what you're telling them.
Okay.
So if I'm coming from peace in my heart, all I really want to do is join, and I really don't want you to be manipulated by my desires, then I am not attacking you by telling you how I feel. If I'm coming from a space of I'm trying to make you do what I want you to do, whether you want to do it or not, now I'm attacking you and I'm attacking me. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Because it's not the words that matter anymore. It's the love behind the words. It's the love behind the action. You know, a surgeon takes a knife and cuts somebody open to heal them, and we say that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. A murderer takes a knife and cuts somebody open, and we say they need to go to jail. In both cases, a knife cut a body. The only difference was the purpose of the cutting. Yeah. So if I'm telling you, listen to me, but it's because I want to join with you. I love you. I want to connect with you. I just want to have peace with you. I want to share with you. I want to have something real with you. That is not attacking you. But if I'm going, listen to me, do it the way I want it, then I'm going, do it the way I want it, whether you want to do it or not, I'm attacking you. And I'm attacking me. In the end, what's my purpose? Control or joining? And I always try to ask myself, Debbie, what am I doing in a relationship with somebody I got to constantly try to get them to get me? That's the thing. You know, it's like, that's what I'm having. That's what I ask myself. Why do I have so many people in my life that I'm trying to get me? It's which means I've set it up where I'm constantly, consciously or subconsciously trying to change everybody around me. So I'm actually trying to make everybody be different for me to be happy. That's attack. That's the grievance. if you're really this bad for me, I'm not children, the Holy Spirit has to tell you how to handle that. But as well as the rest of it. But most of our relationships are truly by choice. People always like to go, what about your kids? Most of your relationships are not with your kids. There are many more relationships you have with more people than your kids. And so 90% of your relationships, even at an ego level, are conscious choices that you can choose out of. So there is no excuse for continually being in a relationship in which you're increasing and maintaining your guilt, unless you want the guilt that the relationship maintains and increases. So your real attraction is not to that person. Your real attraction is to the guilt and anger that you feel with that person, because that frustration fuels your separation, and therefore it keeps your separation from God going, because the separation from love comes through fear. So the part of you that fears has a million plans to keep you from love, and the easiest plan is to keep you in relationships that are forged with anger and dedicated to the idea that the more I can get you to change, the more I can attack you, the more I can get upset with you, the safer I'm going to become. That's the ego's plan. It's to keep you in relationships that are dissatisfying to you. The ego's plan is to keep you in relationships, friendships, jobs, financial situations, cars, house, thought, look of yourself that do not keep you satisfied, because the feeling of dissatisfaction is a feeling of separation, and the ego's game is stay separate from God. That's the game. Stay separate from God, and fear is how we do it. Fear is how we do it.
Do it.
Now, Aaron.
Have you ever had salsa that's so hot, tastes so good, but it's so hot that nothing will put the fire out in your mouth except more of that salsa?
No.
Okay, well, I've had I'm going to use this as an example.
Oh, that's cool.
A kind of a strange wiring in my perception where, I'll eat that bite of salsa and, no cold drink, no ice, nothing will put out the pain from that, but another bite of that salsa. Except now the pain's going to even be greater when that bite wears off. And so I put in more salsa and it's even more intense.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like I'm attracted to the poison.
That's the sick attraction to guilt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what it's talking about.
But it looks like I'm trying to feel good.
Which is what he's talking about. When he says your ego seeks to maintain and increase the pain in such a way that you don't know what you're doing to yourself. And what would be a better way to hurt yourself than to think that what is giving you pleasure is not harmful? That's what we do. I mean, I could give you arsenic in a chocolate candy, right? And that's why they do it in most of the movies anyway, in something really pleasant. But even though it tasted pleasantly, it killed me just as much as a bitter taste in arsenic. So if I wanted to kill you, would I not give you the arsenic in a form that you would like? Because if you tasted it and it was all horrible, you go, poof. So if I wanted to do something to you, I'd have to do it in a way that you would think you were benefiting from it.
Wow.
You could use that word drama when he was saying that. I was thinking drama. I mean, you can see that something's happening in somebody's life, so then they get this other big drama, and it takes their mind off of this. You know?
We haven't been able to get along with my mate for we argue every day. I know what we'll do. Let's have a baby. Let's have more salsa. You see people do it all the time. It's like okay, but then we just, in other words, let's just make it more complex. It's already, because the ego is on the roll.
Right.
The fear is on the roll. You know, it's like, okay, I'm making some good guilt. I'm making some good separation. All right, okay, what should I do? Well, I'll just add some more to it. I have one guilty relationship. I tell you what, let me form another guilty relationship, and let me form another angry relationship. Let me form another. See, the separated mind wants separation, while the mind that's of union wants to cooperate and join. And we have both minds in us, and the Course is trying to help us start to invest in the one that wants the cooperation and the union by showing us how the one that needs fear and anger operates. The part of us that needs fear and anger is upset with the part of us that's going for the peace. So right now, you have a war against yourself, and there is no enemy.
Like if I got conflict, someone gives me guilt. You know, I don't want to answer the call. I don't want to even talk to them, you know, because it's going to be guilt coming
right.
But I feel like if I tell them, you know, you're really making me guilty. It's just a thought, and I'm attacking them by telling them.
So what you would do is only communicate what you feel peace communicating.
Right. Just don't tell them that you're making me guilty, because they're not making me guilty. My thoughts are making me guilty.
Right. See, but right. That is very true what you're saying, but go make it easier and say, I'm going to communicate to them from the highest level of peace I can in this moment, and let that control what you say. Because there might be some cases you need to say, you make me feel guilty. That might be the thing that wants to come out of your mouth. So try not to. Here's the cool part.
See, I don't want to attack. That's
what I'm saying. You have to learn how to tell the difference between content and form.
Right.
The Course in Miracles is only concerned with purpose.
Right.
It is not intention. It is not the least bit concerned with behavior.
Okay.
So there will be no answer that I'll, from this day forward, give to anybody that has to do with a specific thing that you're supposed to say in every circumstance.
Right.
There's supposed to be a particular intent that you have in every circumstance, and then you let that intent determine what you say. Now, your intent not to make that person feel guilty.
Right. Leave
them
alone.
It might tell you to say, right, it might tell you to go, they're asleep.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even say anything about them being guilty. Okay, because why? Because your intent. Now, but there may be some times that your intent might be peace. You might have to say, if you keep on correcting me every time I say something to you, I'm going to stop talking to you. Because I've done that to people, and they get really upset. But then the truth is, I was trying to join. You want to talk to me? All right, I'm going to tell you the secret to talking to me. The secret to talking to me is you let me say what I want to say, how I want to say it. Now, if you need to correct everything I say, that's okay. You're innocent. But I'm not going to talk to you. That's loving. That's loving. That's loving. Then the person really has an option. They can really choose to talk, to communicate with you then, because you've been honest enough to let them know what's necessary to join with you. You see what I mean? And in some situations, I might not say anything.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you're right. We just all about intentions. Right. Like I was telling Debbie, is your communication coming from the intention of the desire to join, or is your communication coming from the intention of the desire to make feel guilty? Because in either case, you're doing it because you want the relationship. What's wrong is the way you're going about it. The guilty person trying to make somebody guilty so that they won't lose them, they want to keep them. The person is choosing for peace because they don't want to lose a person. They want to keep them. That's why they're coming from a peaceful place. But that's just as true at an ego level from the person who's trying to make you feel guilty. Somehow or another, they think through doing that, they're going to maintain some kind of a relationship with you. They're going to have some kind of safety. They're going to have some kind of peace. What we are doing differently now is the means. The way we are going about everything is on a new track. A track that won't cause us pain. Okay, I'm going to stop here.
Thank you.
I'm going to stop here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to do the love offering, and then we're going to do another meditation that's going to be in the form of a review. Remember one thing. Not everything. One thing. Also, I'm getting a new mailing. I want a new updated mailing list. It is the answer to every problem that will confront you today.
Well, it sounded like when we covered today, we go into all this other stuff because we don't recognize God as
right. Right.
We're looking for it everywhere in one hour.
I love it how it says, you know, pills, money, protective clothing, prestige, being like, knowing the right people. He said, that's what your faith is placed in. Your faith isn't placed in the Creator. Your faith is placed in how many people like you and whether you got money or not. And that's just straight up. It's like, ooh, that's too real. Don't get that real. You know, because it is the truth.
My guilt is an idol.
My guilt is my main idol.
Yeah.
Because I think if I'm a good person, I feel guilty. A good person feels guilty about what he's doing to somebody else. But a person doesn't know. Whatever you make a person feel guilty, really guilty about, they're going to do it again. They're going to do it again. Whatever you feel really guilty about, you're going to do it again.
Really?
You're going to be tempted to do it again. The Course says you only stop doing something when you realize it's not going to get you what you want. You never stop doing something because it's immoral or it's bad or it makes you feel guilty. We all know that's true. Think about how many things you've done over and over again that you swore you weren't going to ever do again. So we know that feeling bad does not stop us. We know that feeling bad doesn't stop us from doing anything. I never pass it around. Okay. So much about me being in this for the money.
We know that.
That's obvious, isn't it? That's not exactly him. Yeah.
I wasn't able to come last week, but I did some copies
of
this morning.
Great. That was a great poem. So if you get a chance to get a copy of it, do it. Okay, next class is 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Thursday.
Tomorrow is Thursday. Okay, 7 o'clock.
Thursday.
Don't forget to sign.
If you
want to
get today's CD, just.
Yeah, today's CD. Yes, you still can order CDs from right here in the class.
This one.
Went down to the
How many of you all know, how many of you all are honest enough and feel safe enough to say that you know that your ego did not like hearing some of the things you heard today?
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. How many of y'all are willing to admit that there's another part of you that loved what it heard today?
Yeah.
And interesting, we got both minds. The part that gets relieved by it, and then the part that feels resistance. And the Course says the resistance comes from I want to attack. There are some people I want to attack. There are some people I want to show my anger to and my dissatisfaction with. And that's my resistance. There's somebody I want to attack. Why? Because I think if I attack them, they will give me the love that I want from them. If I attack money, I'm going to get the prosperity and happiness I want from money. As long as you fear it and hate it, fear is not going to give you what you fear and what you hate. Your ego will, but God won't. See what I mean? So remember that now, that whatever you are afraid of is something you don't want. And so if you condemn money, you condemn anything material, condemn the physical world, then you are saying, I don't want to experience this in my experience. So I'm happy for other people's wealth and abundance, and I'm happy for other people's relationships that they're pleased with. I'm happy for any gain that you all have in any kind of way.
That must mean that you're very happy.
I'm happier than I've ever been. That's the truth. Yeah, I am. I'm hurting myself a lot less than I used to. I still pull some good ones off every now and then. It's nothing. I am much saner than I was when y'all first met me. And my sanity increases exponentially from class to class, which means your ego will probably have more and more intense reactions to me.
You get really knows the trip is I've been to a lot of seminars and a lot of classes in my life, but. For the number of classes that I've
been to yours,
I've never seen
anybody
attack you.
Good.
That's a trip.
Good.
Because I've
seen some attacks in
another
setting.
Yeah. Thank you.
He always addresses that, though, you do. I mean, you're like, right from the beginning, you don't have to accept this, you don't have to like it, you aren't going to like it.
Yeah, so you do address it.
Maybe that.
Which is a direct instructions from the Course itself. I mean, that people don't know that when I say that, that's coming from the introduction to the workbook lessons, which I take as being the, really the general attitude that you should have toward the course. And if a person really took that attitude, it really would make the learning of the course a lot easier. And so I'm here to join with people who want to go in the direction that I'm going in. I have zero interest in trying to convince someone to go with me or to believe what I'm saying. And that's the difference.
What a relief.
Yeah. I want to have the beautiful experience of being in a class full of people who all want peace. I love it when people come and for some whatever reason they get it's not for them, and then they don't come back until they feel like it is, or maybe never. I would much rather a person who didn't appreciate me for whatever reason, and they're innocent, to not come around me than for me to spend my time trying to get them to like me, because there are people that already do, and I would love to give them my attention. To me, that just makes more sense to me. Where I used to do it the other way. All my energy went into the people who were giving me a hard time. I was not the least bit interested in the people who were loving me.
High school cafeteria.
What was cool about the high school cafeteria, though, in a way, was that everybody was eating with the people they liked. So if you looked around, it was really a lot of peace. Until somebody tried to go over in somebody else's group where they weren't liked. Wasn't it? Think about it. I'd much rather be having lunch with somebody who likes me. Suppose somebody went in the cafeteria and said, "Everybody in the cafeteria, I want you to go sit at the table with everybody you don't like." That wouldn't be a very enjoyable lunch. But if your personal experience is so full of love or harmony, you will feel so full inside that it will be easier for you to sit at the table with the people you don't like and possibly even let some love come through to them, because you're full. You're full. And out of your fullness, you can give. Now, the ego isn't going to like what I just said, because the ego believes in conflict, so to say stuff like, "Well, shouldn't you try to go over there and try to heal with that person that you don't like?" Yes. The way that you heal with the person that you don't like is to totally appreciate the people that you do like. And you will achieve that goal. You will achieve that goal. Because do you want to heal? Yes. All right, well, give up the way that you've made up to heal. What do you mean? You think healing means you're going to go over there and you're going to say something to this person that you don't like, or you're going to treat them in such a way, or you're going to act that they're going to finally like you. That's an attack. You know, the answer is, I love myself so much that it really doesn't matter if he likes me or not. I know he's still innocent, and if and when we choose to, which we ultimately will because we are one, then we will join, because it's inevitable, because we are one. So since I know it's inevitable that we heal, then I'm going to strengthen my healing by joining with those with the same purpose I have. So that my purpose will become stronger, which is peace. And then the more peace I have, the more peace I can give. And that will start to overflow into the lives of the people that I'm misperceiving right now. But I'm not going to put my energy on them to the exclusion of everyone else, because that will reinforce the guilt and the anger. Because I'm convincing myself that this person needs to be different for me to be happy, which is a universal lie instead of a universal law. The universal lie is, when you change, I'll be happy. That's the universal lie. So if your ego is directing you toward a relationship, you can tell because you'll feel guilt and anger. If your spirit is directing you toward a relationship, you feel gratitude and you feel appreciation. And you certainly won't feel guilty. Even if you're making a mistake, they'll lovingly correct it. They won't attack you. And that's all you deserve, is loving, healing, correction. So I'll see you the next time. Appreciate y'all. Yeah, let your Christ self clap. Now let the ego respond. Thank you very much. Right, silence. Right, because the ego wins.